Yeah, power of the pen, a conversation about the writing experience.
Great.
All right, we're recording. We're all set there.
All right.
You all set?
Yep.
You, all set?
You guys all ready?
Yeah, I guess so. How you guys want, we got this.
Okay, we're ready to go here. So what we have here are three writers who, I think, Steph, you're senior. Graduating senior, Peyton Junior, Alex
Junior.
So all three of these students were this semester in my advanced fiction workshop course. I've also had, I know Steph, we've had a couple classes, Peyton, we've had a number of classes, Alex, at least two, maybe three. And they, you know, they've all been writing classes. So this is a well-seasoned group of writers. In both academic terms and professional writing terms, but especially creative writing terms, and specifically in this case, fiction. And so what I think they're going to be talking about today is sharing experiences about their process as a writer, being in community with other writers in our workshop, and you know, some of the things that maybe they're reflecting on at the end of the semester. Our last class was yesterday. We had a pretty awesome, you were there, Luke. We had a pretty great last class. So I'm gonna get out of your way. And Alex, I think you're sort of taking charge here.
Yeah. All right, so just like Professor Miller said, we've all kind of been in his advanced fiction writing workshop. We've had a lot of writing experience throughout our 3/4 years of undergraduate careers. So we each have a specific topic that we're going to touch upon. Obviously, we only have about 20-ish minutes, so we're going to try and do the best we can with a discussion based about our feelings and experiences within a short amount of time. And we'll try to have enough time for questions, comments, concerns, hopefully not, at the end of this presentation. So again, my name is Alex Kino. I'm currently a junior. I just transitioned over to a interdisciplinary studies in the humanities major, and I have a writing minor and a marine biology minor. So the first topic that I want to present to us is just the transition and kind of communication between science and the arts. I'll kind of start this off just with my experiences. As I started as a marine bio major, I was kind of like, especially my first year when I got reintroduced into reading and to writing, I was just like, oh, this is a great, you know, hobby, can't do anything with it. But then you're going in science and you're like, okay, well, this isn't much fun. And you can only have so much of an outlet before you realize like, oh, wait, this is what I want to do. So in my experience, I found that I can't really have that communion between being a scientist and being an arts major at the same time. But through just like classes with Professor Miller, through professional and technical writing, I'm currently taking a grant writing course, which will help, you know, if you do a nonprofit, especially with my marine biology minor, I could do conservation work. And just with a fiction writing class in general, I've seen just how much writing is applicable in your everyday life. And I feel like that's something that this university kind of struggles with. This isn't me saying that like UNI's terrible, UNI's awful. It's a great place and I love being here. But I feel like there are a lot of students here who don't realize that you can mitigate your science career with something that you truly are passionate about, such as painting or writing or other things like that. I know Peyton here, no, not Peyton, Steph here is a animal behavior major. So if you wanted to talk about your experiences as well.
Yeah, so tricky thing with the animal behavior department being, it is a science department and it's set in the psychology department. And with having kind of the bridge between like science and psychology, like I gave a very detailed presentation about cricket research I just did like 20 minutes ago. And then, you know, it's very strange to like have that science stuff, as Alex was saying, and then also be a very passionate writer. I love taking classes with Jesse. I took creative writing 111. I took pro tech writing. I wanted to take grant proposal and it just wasn't a thing. And so really having kind of having both backgrounds is helpful because I bring a lot of my understanding of like biology and stuff into my writing. I like to write a little bit on the darker side, and having an understanding of like, you know, kind of the creepy and gore that you can elevate from biology and add that into your writing, it helps kind of elevate the whole experience versus not having any of that information.
And then Peyton has a different background as an English major. She doesn't really have this science background. So just your perspective on how have you mitigated like your creative writing? And I guess I would say professional writing as well, because don't, what do you want to do after you get out of?
That's a great question, Alex.
Sorry, I put you on the spot there.
That's a great question. But I came to the university with an English major. I was never a big science person. Kind of disappointing to my dad because he's a science freak, but it's my life at the end of the day. So, but yeah, I came with an English degree and I had no desire to be a writer. I wrote on in my free time, but it wasn't ever something I saw in my future as a career path that I could go into. And so I think taking some of Professor Miller's classes and just having that confidence within myself has made me realize that there's so much more that I can do with an English major and include my writing into it as well. I also do have a minor in psychology, so that also helps me with my writing path, kind of like what Steph was saying with the gore and, you know, some other details from psychology that we don't need to get into, but you know, that can help me in the long run. And I think writing has really opened up where I can go within my career field.
So I think just as like an overview, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like within our writing lives, like each of these smaller portions of our lives or major portions, as you were saying, kind of help elevate our writing in a way that we know, like, as you were saying, just like with the gore, like we know biology, we know what would happen, say if like someone was stabbed, like, you know that. Mm-hmm. But then on your end, writing is a not, you know, it's not your focus, it's not your career path, but it helps bolster what you do want to do, such as resume and just in general, like communicating with people. I guess we can turn it over to you with your topic.
Totally. So a lot of Professor Miller's classes revolve around workshopping. And I think that kind of reflecting on the past 2 years I've had classes with Professor Miller, one of the biggest things as a writer is that you need to have vulnerability and you need to be open and honest and be able to take that feedback. But you also need to be open and honest and be able to give feedback back, if that makes sense. I used a lot of backs in that sentence, but hopefully you understood what I meant. It also comes from vulnerability within you. I think that a lot of people use writing as a technique to, you know, kind of muster through some life consequences, choices, difficulties. And so for me, sometimes putting my writing out, if it's not my mom, I get nervous because I know that my, you know, fellow peers, they're going to be there to help push me through. And sometimes I don't want to hear the feedback, but being open and putting myself in that position, I know that they're doing it to make me a better writer. And I think that that's something that we can all kind of agree on, is just being open with critiques. It's never coming from a harsh standpoint. And at the end of the day, I know that like with the critiques, my writing is going to kind of hit the next step up. And that's important for what I want to do for the rest of my life, if I ever figure it out.
Yeah, just going off that, as someone who kind of figured out what they wanted to do a little later in their college experience, I came in especially to this advanced fiction writing workshop without having a lot of peer review in the past. And there was, I know we talked about this yesterday in class, when I came in with my first story to be peer reviewed, everybody had read it already. You know, it kind of felt like I was walking into a firing squad, just like, oh God, like, do I even go to class? Like, I know it's not going to end well. But it's just, especially when you're new at it, and especially if you come from a science background, you lack that confidence and you feel like everything that you put out there is terrible. But I think we can all agree that it's less from a standpoint of whether a person likes or dislikes your writing, but more of a, here's what I did like, and here's what you can do to, you know, grow as a writer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, sorry not to cut you off, but also with like my psychology classes, we write papers. I feel like that's something you do in every class, and you do have peer reviews, but it's usually, you know, move this paragraph here and put in a period there and you forgot a comma. But with Professor Miller's class, we all sit in a circle and we say, hey, we love this character, but what if this character did this? hey, I love what you're doing with the plot, but what if you think about it this way? It's almost a little bit of a devil's advocate, and it makes you think as a writer what different paths you could take within your own story. And I think that's what sets it aside from other peer review classes when it comes to the science field.
And I think it gets really tricky too sometimes. Is we had a couple of writers in our classes here who have never done this before, especially have never done a workshop, and they came into it thinking, oh, there's a right and wrong way to do this. Everyone's going to tell us that we did something wrong. And they were all really surprised with the, it's not just critiques and feedback, it's constructive. You know, we're not going to say, oh, I didn't like this part and then leave it at that. You know, and that's, I think it was huge for some of our classmates to really understand there's a big difference between having someone critique your writing and having someone constructively give you criticism and feedback. And we saw how not only did they grow in confidence, like just in their writing, but also like in themselves and their like comfort level in the class, because they knew they could come to us and ask questions and not be worried about us saying, oh, you did this totally wrong, you don't know what you're doing. Because I mean, Jesse's classes, he makes sure that we create an environment where you are not there to, pardon my language, shit on everyone else's writing. That is not your job. Your job is to suck up your own feelings about it and help them become better and help them to embrace themselves better as a writer, which if you're not doing that, don't even take a workshop class, because you're just going to upset everybody.
And even just going off that, I found that helping my peers, especially some of the people in our class who weren't as confident in their writing, who haven't taken writing workshops before. And even though I haven't as well, I've done writing in the past and I've been like successful throughout like high school, middle school, like with writing, obviously that's in the past, but just being able to offer that criticism and offering to maybe step in and help if they get a little overwhelmed, it builds my confidence as a writer too. I don't know if you guys felt that same way, just, you know, talking to them, saying like, here's what I would do, but you don't have to do that, just like, because you know that you have different styles of writing. Just because we're kind of running out of time, we're going to switch over to Steph.
All right, so my topic actually works perfectly off of that, in that I really wanted to talk about how, you know, I was one of those people who, when I was really little, I knew I was going to work with animals and I knew I was going to be a writer. That was like, I already had that figured out. And so, you know, I've been practicing and practicing and practicing. I mean, we all know that's what writing is. It's practice. And you know, I've had the struggle of having people be like, oh, your writing's really good. And I'm like, yeah, but you're my mother. Like, you have to say that, you know, or, you know, every once in a while, I'd have a teacher that would give me a perfect score on like a creative essay. And they'd be like, this was amazing. And I'm like, it's probably not that great. You're just being nice to me because I'm your favorite student. And, you know, coming to college and having other students tell me your writing is really good, your writing is really intense. And to the point of even having some of the students in our class come to me and say, hey, can you look over my writing? Help me figure something out. What strategies do you use? I finally kind of had that like aha moment of going from like doubting myself to being completely confident in saying, I am a writer and I'm confident in my writing and I know what my style is and I know what I'm doing. And having that evolution, you know, I've seen it in some of my classmates and I've seen it come out of the workshops that we have in Jesse's classes. And while some of our classmates are still in the newer phases, you could immediately see from their first story to their second story, those huge shifts in understanding. And I think that having an understanding of that, you know, being a writer is practice, but it's also an evolution in your understanding of yourself. And I think until you really accept that, you're not going to be able to confidently go out in the world and say, yeah, I'm a writer.
Yeah. And just kind of going off that, I know at the beginning of the year, one of the things that Jesse would always say is, you are the god of this story. You can make anything happen. And I remember sitting in class, especially at the beginning, being like, okay, I can see that everybody around me is a god in their story. They, you know, can change things so well. They can, you know, manipulate words, craft words to make beautiful sentences. But I don't feel like a god. I feel like crap. And like, this writing is not good.
Minor god.
Right? Yeah, like a minor god in like the big like Colosseum. But as you go through the process of writing, and just like you were saying, like, oh, you have to say that it's good because you're my partner, you're my mom, like stuff like that. You kind of find your own, you grow in confidence. And by the end of like a peer review or a class such as this, where you've grown with the people around you and you realize like, you know, you're like, you know, amazing as a writer, but you're also saying these really wonderful, insightful things about my writing. So I'm a writer as well. You kind of hold yourself to that standard by the end, once you get comfortable and once you figure out like the point of being a writer is just to write and just to try. You don't have to have like a million published novels to be a writer or to be an author. You just, you know, you just go for it. You just have to try. And I'm totally going over time, but like, you know, maybe just very quickly, like if there's something else.
Absolutely. Just to like bounce off that, I think that it impacts you as a writer and what you know, what your path is. Once you gain that confidence, you have a better understanding of yourself. And I know that for me in high school, it was kind of like the same way. I wrote a creative essay and they're like A+, and I'm like, what is it? And now I know I can walk into Jesse's class and I may not feel, you know, completely confident about what I put out, but I'm confident in where it can go. And I think that that has a different impact. So yeah, confidence is key.
Confidence is key. And it takes a long time to kind of get to that point.
It does. Yeah. You got to have little faith in yourself.
Little faith. Yeah. It's little steps. So I know we're kind of going over, we don't have anyone in this room, I believe. So if we want to take a little extra time to do some questions. We do? Okay.
Yeah.
My mom.
I think we're done at 3:25.
Yeah. Okay. We want to open it up. I know it's more of a good job, guys.
You too.
Questions?
Yeah. I have two.
Oh.
So number one is a little background. I'm going to be a science teacher. You know that, but so if anyone has ever read a scientific paper, we all know that they can be very important. How do I take my kids in a science high school classroom, and I'm speaking more towards your personal experience with the process of writing, how do I get them to write a scientific informational paper that is still coherent? Like, how do I get them to build that process for themselves, because for everyone it's different, in a science context?
If you want to go for it.
All right, so something that I have to do quite a lot for my many, many research papers for my many, many classes is I find it's really easy. It's a lot easier because, you know, everyone's like, oh, do an outline and then just fill everything in later. I hate outlines, despise them. Never going to happen. But I find it's a lot easier for me to kind of devise like a more personal, like write a creative story first, and then go back and add the data. Because your creative story, you know, theoretically, you already know what you're researching. You understand, for me, the animal behavior. You can put that and relate it to different situations. And then I can go back and say, yeah, the cricket did this X, Y, and Z, and here are my statistics about it. But the way that the paper is written comes out as more of a, it's more of a natural flow, I guess. And it really follows, you know, the beginning, middle, end that you have in a story. I think especially for like middle high school students, they would get a kick out of doing that just for fun. Wish my science teacher did that.
Yeah, going off that, as someone who really struggled with scientific papers, obviously, you know, you've helped me a lot. I think it's less of a problem to like get your students to write the paper as it is as the current format of scientific papers. If you don't want to be a scientist, you are not going to be able to understand what's in that paper. Like, if you, at least in my perspective, scientific papers are written in a very specific format, and there's very little deviation in that. I do agree with what Steph said. Make it a story. Make it as something your students know. They know what happened. I would say, in my experience, I've tried to just outline the main goal in each section and just kind of say like, this is the biggest point and work around it. So I'm not sure if that helps as much, because obviously like I'm not very great with scientific writing papers. In my experience, I've just, I've had the mindset of we need to change the whole system to make it more accessible to people. I've always kind of had the hope that we would have like scientific writing papers where it's like kind of the same thing that we have now. And then the common science for like everybody else who doesn't have that scientific background, where it's just kind of like, hey, we took a cricket and, you know, did this like X, Y, and Z without saying like, we did a cricket, here's the method of X, here's the method of Y, here's the method of Z, here's what all of that means in the grand scheme. Also add like a million statistics. So I feel like there is a middle ground that needs to be reached. And, you know, that's obviously like something that the next generation of teachers like yourself, you know, can kind of help with. So sorry if that was very long-winded. Is there any other questions?
Well, I had to
try it. Oh, right, yeah.
You're not allowed. So my second one was mostly for Peyton.
Oh, God.
So as a person who did not really like science too much, how do I go about getting kids who are in my class who are more artistically minded engaged in science? Because obviously in high school and college you can choose a little bit more, but in high school you have to take science classes. How do I go about getting those kids interested in what I'm trying to say and trying to engage their creative thinking? Do you have any personal experience?
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to sound crazy, but my high school science teachers were the most impactful people I've ever met in my entire life. I think it also goes back to kind of like your overall attitude with science. If you really enjoy science, I think as a teacher, you can kind of switch up. I feel like, you know, there's this agenda that every teacher has to fill out and cross off. And I think that if you come in with an attitude of, yeah, this topic kind of sucks, sorry guys, but let's switch it up and do this. There was one time where we had, I can't remember what it was, but I remember we drew like a diagram for, I think, the organ system, and we got to color it, and I was in high school, I promise. But it just made it fun and interesting and being creative. And we got to kind of name the organs different things. And my teacher always made sure that those kids had kind of like a backdrop outlet almost, where if we were given a question, we could kind of answer it with a picture or a short story. I've written a short story for an answer on like labs and stuff before. I think just keeping your mind open to that kind of segue into science, because quite honestly, I think they do merge a lot, and it's just up to how the teacher comes across with that. I don't know if that helps at all.
Yeah, no.
I would personally recommend chatting with Dr. Olson. The way he had the biological bases exam set up last semester really allowed us to like mix having like diagrams and artistry with kind of the writing component. And, you know, I might be a scientist at heart, but I 100% drew pictures of stuff with arrows and words and things, because it's so much easier for my brain to follow that. So he's a great source.
Yeah, I think just giving students the freedom to learn the way that they want to learn is just kind of the underlying message of everything. If they want to create an experiment based on a story they read, then, you know, let them do something that they want to do within the realm of their brain, while also giving them the knowledge to like expand. So any other questions, comments?
I just have a very quick one.
Yeah.
I know we're a little over, but it's for the whole panel. So I, you know, Steph, I can't believe I'm thinking back to what was fall 2019 and first year Steph and
pre-COVID.
Four times. And you know, Peyton, I know we've had, you were in my short fiction class last year, and you know, Alex, we've had a number of classes. And so there's sort of a progress there, right? And I guess I would ask, and maybe this is hard to do on the spot, but if you could think about giving a piece of advice to yourself, so first year Steph, right? last year Peyton, right? What might it be? What would you say about what kind of advice would you give to that person as a writer to maybe be this person who you are now?
I guess I personally would go back in time and tell myself that, yes, you're taking 23 credits, but you also still need to be writing. Mm. I have found recently it's been a really hard time for me to write. I mean, me taking your classes was an excuse for me to creatively write, because I knew if I didn't schedule it into my time, I wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm glad that I was able to do that this year. I wasn't able to do that last year, and it was really sucky. So, yeah.
So I would say that Jesse Miller is going to tell you to start every class with a free write, and you need to take that and do that every day with your life, because it's going to boost your confidence and kind of help you understand where your mind kind of flies to every day.
That's nice.
Thanks.
Jeez, advice. That's a lot. I think the biggest thing for me would have to be that you can be a multifaceted person without having to sacrifice any of your science background or any of your writing background, and that the knowledge that you've gained in a subject that you found that you're not gonna continue on in your career is still helpful, and you didn't waste your time. Which, you know, still kind of grappling with the fact that like, oh, I may have wasted some of that time, but in reality I didn't, because that's still a big component of like the person I am. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sage advice. Thank you.
Good job, guys.
Great job.
All right.
Cool. I don't know who these are from, but I am confused. I think it's for you. You're not Emily, but you're Steph. I don't have anything for you.
I have my stickers. Yeah.
Inner office mail, I imagine, would be fine.
I think you can just take it upstairs.
Right upstairs, got it. Oh, right, because we're in the carrier.